Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
Everybody, it has been such a privilege for Jason and I to be here and to get to know many of you, get to pray alongside some of you. It has been life-giving for us, as much as it might have been a little bit physically exhausting. It has been spiritually life-giving for us. I love the word that Luke brought just before when he said that he hasn't finished with us yet. Who believes that? And who knows that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. Amen? But you know what? That's not tonight. This is just the beginning of the next season. And he promises that he will keep building his church. He will keep growing his people. And I have loved hearing the heartbeat of this church. And as I was praying leading up to this week, even before I got to be here and get to know you and hear some of these stories, the word that God put on my heart was that there was such a significant call on this church to reach your community, but not just here, your community and beyond, with the gospel, to see lives changed. But here's the challenge. And I'm sure those of you who have been here over the weekend have heard this challenge, that it's going to take everyone. Not just a few, not those that are more up front and get to stand on the platform in one way or another. It is going to take everybody to be a part of what God is doing to transform this community. He has placed you in areas of influence, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your workplace or school or neighbourhood, even in the church, to have a bold, audacious, supernatural faith. And he's calling you to believe and expect that he is going to do what only he can do. He wants to do the immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And it's not because of us. It's all because of the power, the work of his Spirit within us. Anybody else here want to see a mighty move of God in this community? What about in this nation? Are you praying for a mighty move of God in this nation in our time? I believe it's coming and it's going to take all of us. What are some of the big prayers on your heart to see that happen? Think about the people that you love, the ones you walk alongside, those areas of influence. What is the big prayers that God has put on your heart? The beautiful thing is that God is in the business of using ordinary people, just like you, just like me, people who are willing to surrender themselves to him and listen to his voice, to push any fear aside. It's often one of our greatest obstacles. And to move forward with courageous, supernatural faith. That's my prayer for us. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you right now that it's not about us. It's all about you, Lord Jesus, and we want to give you glory. We want to see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, with greater measure. Lord Jesus, pour it out. Tonight, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear the whispers of your Spirit for us, for this time, for this season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Peter is one of my heroes of the faith. One of the things that I love about Peter is that he is so absolutely ordinary. You know, we might have sainted him, we might have built churches in his name, but Peter was a really ordinary bloke who struggled with fear and doubt, and he makes heaps of mistakes. And I feel I can relate to him on so many levels, but time and time again, we see that Peter makes these audacious, bold steps of faith to see those who are far from God discover, just as he had, the life-changing message of Jesus. Now, he could have stayed an ordinary fisherman and led a comfortable life, but instead he chose to leave behind the status quo because of the truth that he had discovered. And through that truth, he was compelled to share it with others, even at the risk of his own life. And despite all of his shortcomings, Jesus not only chose him, he continued to choose him over and over again to demonstrate his love, his grace, and his power at work through ordinary people. And I'm inspired by the fact that Peter never gave up on his faith, and he persevered through so many trials and challenges to see the good news of Jesus transform people's lives. And 2,000 years later, don't we know that that is Peter's faith, his testimony is still transforming lives today. And one of the accounts of Peter and his astonishing faith that constantly challenges me is the story of Peter walking on water. And we read this story in Matthew chapter 14, and it's an extraordinary act of supernatural Holy Spirit-filled faith. And over the years, this story has inspired me to push through fear and courageously step out in faith in the supernatural power of God at work in me through his Holy Spirit. And my prayer today is that this familiar story has a new and significant impact on your life too. We're going to read it together from Matthew 14. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, as we get to this account, you have to understand the disciples and Jesus have just come from this moment where Jesus supernaturally feeds 5,000 people on the side of a hill. Now, they say that if they actually included women and children, it would be more like 20,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus then, from that moment, sends his disciples off to the other side of the Sea of Galilee without him. And you can understand that this is a little bit of a moment where Jesus might need to take a rest, to have a little bit of quiet time. He's just done an incredible miracle. And so by the time the disciples get a fair way out into the sea, the wind starts to pick up and it starts to toss their boat around. You can picture it, can't you? And they're probably feeling a little bit on edge at this moment because even though they're fishermen, they don't actually know how to swim. There they are, all night. They're being tossed around by the waves. They're not sleeping for fear that they might drown. They're clinging on for dear life because they can't swim. And just before dawn, they see what they think is a ghost walking on the water. They might have been a little bit scared before, but right now they're absolutely terrified. Now, while we might not actually be able to relate to the situation that the disciples find themselves in, maybe you've known a time in your life where fear and anxiety are out of control and maybe even irrational. I know I certainly have, far too many times, if I'm honest. Even if you haven't experienced that, I know right now you can understand the feeling of the disciples in this moment. They're afraid. But here's what we need to understand first of all. The supernatural faith, if we want to have supernatural faith, it will always be challenged by our natural fear. Supernatural faith will always be challenged by our natural fear. If we choose to walk in supernatural faith, in the power of Jesus, it will always challenge our natural fears. I love how Jesus spoke to the disciples when he sees how terrified they are. He doesn't dismiss them or condemn them or laugh at them for being so afraid. He sees their fear. He understands their fear. He understands in their human nature the fear that they feel. Even though he knows that they've got nothing to worry about, he actually acknowledges their fear. In verse 27, it says, Jesus immediately he said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." See, Jesus acknowledged the disciples' fears. But at the same time, he spoke courage into them. He reassured them. I remember a time when I had to do the same thing for my son, Joey. Soon after we moved to Brisbane, we had gone to SeaWorld. Anybody been to SeaWorld recently? Great. Or even a while ago, that's okay. But this particular time we went, they had just opened a new ride called the Jet Rescue ride. So it's like, you know, jet skis going around on a fast track. You've been on it, right? Yeah. So they just opened this ride and Joey was about 7 and we realised he was finally tall enough to go on a fast ride. Thankfully, the line wasn't too long because I spent the entire time waiting, reassuring Joey that this was going to be okay. This is going to be fun, hun. There's nothing to fear. It's just like getting on a fast motorbike ride. You'll be really safe. You'll be harnessed in. You know what? If you're scared, just scream the whole way. You are going to love it. And before we know it, there we are. We're harnessed into these jet skis. The girls and Jason are all in front of me. They're squirming, you know, anxiously waiting for this ride. They're so excited. And I look over at Joey, who's beside me, and I can see that he is starting to panic. So then I'm sitting there. I'm starting to panic. What have I done? Why have I pushed him beyond his fears? What if I have damaged him for life? What if he never forgives me? What if he never trusts me again? And I'm at the point of saying, let's get off this ride, when the bell goes and honestly, we take off the point of no return. And for the next 32 seconds at 70 kilometres an hour with a G-force of 2.5, I am desperately trying to turn my head to see how Joey is without snapping my neck off. All the while I'm watching the girls scream their heads off. Jason's got his eyes closed so that he doesn't vomit. and I hear absolutely nothing from Joey next to me. And we finally come to the end of the ride and I'm able to look sideways. And there is Joey, white as a sheet, gripping the handlebars so hard that his knuckles are white. And I start to say to him, I'm so sorry, hon. Please trust me again. Will you forgive me? I'm about to say all of these things to Joey. And he leans over and he whispers to me, Mum, can we do that again? Can we do that? Much to Jason's disgust, we did it over and over again. I had to push Joey past his fears because I was sure that he would love it if he didn't allow fear to stop him. And once he realised there was nothing to fear, he wanted to do it over and over again. Here we come to this moment where Jesus challenges the disciples to push past their natural fears too. Because he wanted them to have the courage to experience more and more of his supernatural work, supernatural power at work within them. Verse 27, he says, take courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid. There's actually something really familiar about this moment for the disciples. Maybe you've realized it. Familiar moment with these words that Jesus speaks to them that cuts right to their heart. See, if we look back in Matthew chapter 8, we discover that the disciples in very similar circumstances, they're in a boat with Jesus when a big storm comes up, so big that the waves are sweeping over the side of the boat, and Jesus is asleep. Up to this point, they've seen Jesus do some pretty miraculous things, so they know potentially that he can save them. So they go and wake him, saying, Lord, save us, we're drowning. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. See, the disciples recognized that Jesus had supernatural power over nature. And he rebukes them for having too little faith in his power to calm the wind and the waves. They had allowed in that moment their fear to deafen their faith. And if we go back to chapter 14 and the disciples are in a very similar scenario, it's the same sea, might even be the same boat. A big storm comes up, but this time, in this story, Jesus isn't actually in the boat with them. They're panicking. They can't just go and wake him up like they did the last time to calm the wind and the waves. Jesus isn't physically there for them to turn to. Until he suddenly does appear. But not in the way that any of them actually expected. Jesus comes walking to them on the water and they are terrified. They didn't recognize him. They thought it was a ghost until he spoke to them. And it's at this moment, I reckon, Peter has this incredible epiphany. Peter remembers the authority and the power that Jesus has demonstrated in the past. It's almost like you can see the movie reel start to go over in his head. Not only has Jesus spoken with authority over the wind and the waves in the past, he's fed 20,000 people, all these stories going through Peter's mind. And as Peter remembers Jesus' power and his faithfulness, you can almost see his faith growing stronger than his fear. And he's a little bit impulsive, Peter, isn't he? We know that about Peter. And before he can stop himself and think about it too much, he's calling out to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He's saying, if you command it, if you speak the words, Jesus, I'll come. So what does Jesus say? Come, come. Supernatural faith requires a response to God's supernatural word. See, Jesus required Peter to take a step of faith in response to his supernatural word. Jesus didn't try and drag Peter out of the boat, didn't give him a handout. He just said, come. And Peter had to take a step of supernatural faith in response to God's supernatural word. I actually believe one of the biggest challenges we face, simply getting out of the boat. Guess what? To walk on water, you've actually got to get out of the boat. And no one else can do it for you. It's a step of faith that Jesus requires you to take in response to his supernatural word. You've actually got to make a move towards the call of Jesus. A big, courageous step of faith. I have to admit, I have found myself in Peter's shoes a lot over the years in situations that completely terrify me. But unlike Peter in this moment, I have allowed fear to deafen or to drown out my faith. Even though, just like Peter, I'd seen God do incredible things in the past, I was too overwhelmed with fear to step out in faith again. But if I want to grow, if I want to be stretched, I've actually got to get out of the boat. I've got to leave my comfort zone. Getting out of the boat is risky, isn't it? Stepping outside of our comfort zone, our place of safety, is risky. I mean, what if I drown? What if I get overwhelmed? What if people laugh at me? What if I fail? Fear is crippling. You know, it's one of Satan's greatest tools against us because it stops us from living in the freedom and the power that God invites us to. It stops us from experiencing more of his supernatural power at work in us and through us. Did you know that there are 365 verses in Scripture that speak to fear, that say, do not fear? One for every day. Why? Because God knew in our humanity, our propensity to fear. He knew this would be a struggle. He knew the potential that it had to steal from us. And he wants to remind us every day that we have nothing to fear because he's with us. That's the constant reminder. Do not fear, for I am with you, over and over again. The choice to say yes to Jesus, to follow him and get out of the boat, will always, everybody say always. It'll always involve a little bit of fear. Sorry if that's not what you wanted to hear right now. Certainly one of the hardest truths I've ever had to learn. Here is the truth. Every time I want to grow in my faith, it'll involve doing something new. And each time I do that, I'll experience a little bit of fear again, stepping into the unknown. That fear will never go away as long as I'm growing. Because here's the important bit. That little bit of fear helps me to depend on God for what I can't do myself. But the choice is ours. We can allow fear to sit in the driver's seat of our lives, or we can push it to the passenger seat. Where's fear sitting in your life right now? Is it sitting in the driver's seat or the passenger seat? I don't know if you've ever had the incredible joy of teaching your children to drive. Maybe some of you are just in the process of learning to drive. I'm finished now. for many years, thank goodness. But when we first started with the girls, I was the really cool, calm and collected one. In fact, so much so that the girls would beg me to take them driving, not Dad. Until my baby boy came along, until Joey was old enough to start learning. And it's not that he was a bad driver. I mean, I was a little bit older too. I'm going to blame that. But I'll tell you, there's something about a 16-year-old boy behind the wheel of a car that absolutely terrified me. So he started begging Jason to take him for driving lessons because fear had definitely taken its seat in the passenger seat of our car. Fear will often be along for the ride, but it should never be in control. And I had allowed fear to be in the driver's seat of my life far too many times. And it paralysed me. I even used to deny God's calling. This is really bad theology. I used to deny God's calling because it couldn't possibly be God if I was afraid, right? God wouldn't do that. God wants us to know that His supernatural word has power over our natural fears, but we have to be willing to respond. See, Peter responded to Jesus' call and he just jumped over the side of that boat. He walked on water. Peter actually walked on water. How cool is that? In that moment, he's not looking at the circumstances. He's not thinking about the fact that he actually can't swim. He's not weighing up his odds of success. His eyes are fixed on Jesus and he takes this giant leap of faith out of the boat. And in that moment, he experienced what it means to live fully in the supernatural power of God. Now, I had an experience several years ago when my fear nearly robbed me of an experience of the supernatural power of God at work with me. I told a story on Saturday night about a couple that I prayed for because they couldn't have children. This has been a reoccurring part of my ministry for many years, but this story I'm about to tell you is where it all began for me. You know, at this point in time, I'd actually been praying to God for the gift of healing. I had desired that God would use me to see people made whole, body, mind, and spirit. And I believed in the miracle of healing. So over about 20 years ago now, I found myself talking to a couple in our church, Brett and Mary, and I'd found out that they had been trying to have their third child unsuccessfully for over 3 years. And I felt devastated for them. And in that moment, I felt prompted to ask them if they'd had somebody pray for them. And when they said, not for a while, instead of responding by praying for them, I ran to tell one of our pastors that she needed to go and pray for this couple. You know what she had the audacity to say to me? Susan, I believe God's calling you to do it. Are you kidding? Praying for somebody to get pregnant? I can't do that. Oh, I tell you, my fear totally overwhelmed me and I made every excuse under the sun not to do it. My fear became louder than my faith. Even though I believed that God could do it, I just didn't believe he could do it through me. What if I prayed and nothing happened? How many of us are guilty of thinking things like that? So I actually did everything I could for literally the next few weeks, maybe months, to avoid this couple. And it's really hard to do in a fairly small church. I was constantly battling fear because I couldn't get out of my head that God was indeed calling me to pray for them. And I was scared. Everywhere I turned, I felt like God kept calling me to step out of the boat, to follow His command and pray for them. I tell you, I look back at this and I think He is so kind and gracious and persistent I'm thankful for his persistence. It turned up in my devotions one morning. I was reading Psalm 127 and it says, a man is blessed whose quiver is full of sons. I was listening to a worship song at the time and it was based on Psalm 113 and it talks about the barren woman dancing for joy as the mother of children. I knew without a doubt that God was speaking to me and I was trying really, really hard, very unsuccessfully to ignore him. After weeks worth of wrestling with my fear, I was in church one morning and I looked up at the end of the service and I saw Mary on stage because she had been in the worship team that morning. And God quickened my spirit. My heart was thumping out of my chest and I knew in that moment that he wanted me to pray for her on this particular morning. Oh, I was petrified. And I'd like to say, this was the moment that, like Peter, I just jumped out of the boat full of faith and confidence, but I didn't. And in fear, I kind of stuck my head down and I closed my eyes and I hoped that by the time I opened them for my very deep spiritual prayer, that maybe she'd gone home. I'm not joking either. It wasn't an honourable moment at all. And as I'm sitting there like this, head on the pew in front of me, I felt a tap on my shoulder. And lo and behold, when I look up, there is Mary standing right there. And she said, Susan, I feel God telling me that you need to pray for me this morning. Can you believe it? I couldn't run away this time and I was so nervous. All I remember is praying the lamest, most embarrassing prayer ever, and I am not exaggerating. I stumbled and stuttered something out loud, and I found myself praying for a boy, since that was the verse God kept putting on my heart, and I knew she already had two girls. I mean, you know, if I'm going all out there, 50-50 odds of boys and girls, why not? Felt a bit risky, but hey, I'm out of the boat now. Tell you, I was absolutely dumbfounded when a few weeks later she came and told me she was pregnant. Even more dumbfounded when 8 months later she gave birth to a little boy. Do you know, I honestly, that brings me to tears all these years later. It's the power of God, right? So I honestly don't know why God answered my prayers that day, and not all the ones that had gone before, but I do know this. God did something in my faith that day. He helped me to realise that it had absolutely nothing to do with me and nothing to do with my fancy words. It was all about him. And it put in me the courage to push aside my fear and pray for women to fall pregnant over and over again. And by the grace of God, I have seen him answer those prayers on numerous occasions, including the story that I told you about yesterday. Time and time again, I am still blown away by the fact that a miracle-working God would choose to use me. If I had let fear sit in the driver's seat of my life all those years ago, or if God, in that instance, had let fear stay there, I'd have missed out on the things that God had wanted to teach me about who he is, about his power at work through me as I step out in faith to his supernatural word. Now I find praying for people one of the incredible joys of my life. Sometimes the first step is the hardest step. But once you've done it the first time, you'll find that fear gets less and less. And your courage to step out in faith gets greater and greater. And for some of you, this weekend, there's a first step coming. It may be praying for healing for the first time. It may be sharing your testimony or the story of the gospel to somebody that is far from Jesus that you love. It may be putting your hand up to serve in church on team for the first time. Don't let yourself become paralyzed by the first step. Unlike me, Peter didn't make excuses. He wasn't paralyzed by the first step. He responded to the voice of Jesus, and he was experiencing the exhilarating power of the supernatural God at work in him. I mean, he's walking on water. But we know there comes a moment where Peter's focus shifts from Jesus to his circumstances. He feels the strong wind on his face. He sees the hugeness of the waves all around him, and he realizes what a ridiculous, impossible thing walking on water really is. Verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink." What did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." See, Peter allowed his natural fear to deafen his faith in the supernatural word of Jesus, and he started to sink. I mean, you might think, well, duh, he's walking on water. But how often have we started off with great intentions of following Jesus in what he's called us to do, only to be overwhelmed by circumstances? How often have we felt like failures because we've started out so strong, so positive, only to give up? How often have we hindered the supernatural power of God at work in our lives because, just like Peter, we've taken our eyes off Jesus and we've allowed our fears and the circumstances that we find ourselves in to be greater than our faith? We could make it a really good excuse to never try. Certainly what I used to do. But I want you in your mind's eye to take a look with me back at the boat that Peter's just left. Because in that boat, there's 11 disciples that never knew what it was like to walk on water with Jesus. They didn't have the courage to step out in faith. They were probably still clinging in fear to the mast. Because of that, they would never know the exhilarating experience that Peter did. Peter would take this experience with him into the rest of his ministry. It changed his life forever. His faith became bolder and bolder. They missed out on that moment. And in this moment of fear for Peter, when his eyes came off Jesus and he began to sink, Peter discovered this, that supernatural faith supernaturally saves. All Peter had to do was cry out, "Lord, save me." And what is the word that is used there? It says, immediately. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I love that. Jesus immediately came to Peter's rescue when he cried out to him. There's so much kindness in that. There's not condemnation. I can't help but imagine that as Jesus leans over and puts his hand out and he picks Peter up out of the water, I can just see Peter whispering to Jesus, "Can we do that again? Can we do it again?" And you know what? In one way or another, he did. Peter stepped out in faith over and over again. He performed miracles. The church grew under his teaching. He made incredible sacrifices for the gospel. And I reckon Jesus' words to Peter later on would be, "Not you of little faith, but you of great faith." In this moment, both Peter and the disciples came to a deeper understanding of who Jesus was, his power, his faithfulness to them, and his incredible grace for them. And their faith grew. They were in awe. "Truly, you are the Son of God." And we people, we need to acknowledge that we too are sinking in our sin. We too need to call out for help. And when we do, Jesus' response will be exactly the same: to reach down into our circumstances and save us. In fact, the most powerful supernatural act that Jesus has ever done was to come down to earth as a man. He stepped in to our sinful circumstances as a man, and he carried our sin for us to the cross. And after 3 days, he was raised from the dead, defeating sin and death once and for all. His supernatural act, this one time, means that we too can be saved from sin and death forevermore. Now, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. A little bit later, I'm going to offer you the opportunity, if you have never put your faith in Jesus, to do that tonight. It'll be the greatest act of supernatural faith that you will ever take. The exciting news is for all of us that Jesus hasn't just come to rescue us, but to invite us into the most exciting life. Supernatural faith is the door to a supernatural life. It's exciting. This moment is crucial, I believe, for many of us, because God right now is wanting to confront your fears, because he wants you to grow. He wants to take your faith to a whole nother level. It will always involve the calling to do something that's too big for us to do alone. But the water, with all its danger and turmoil, it's exactly where Jesus is. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of the 11 disciples clinging to the mast who never experienced what it's like to walk on water with Jesus. I don't want to miss out. It's why my life motto became, "Do it afraid." I just started saying yes to opportunities that were presented to me and just kept saying to myself, Susan, just do it afraid. I didn't want fear to rob me. I mean, I'm here preaching to you tonight. Just do it afraid. Do it afraid. If I hadn't kept saying that over my life, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Does fear still play a little part? Yes. I'm going to choose to do it anyway. Absolutely. Absolutely. As you step out in faith, as you have a go, and maybe do it a bit afraid, I can attest to the fact that you will experience more of the supernatural power of God at work in your life too. You'll experience his faithfulness amidst the storms. You'll be the one whispering, "Can we do that again?" On our own, it is impossible. But with Jesus, when our eyes are fixed on him, when we allow our faith to be louder than our fears, we will see him do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine because of his Spirit at work within us. Anybody else up for that? Don't let fear and anxiety hold you back from allowing the supernatural power of God to be at work in you. Don't be like one of the 11 who allowed their fear to deafen their faith and stop them from experiencing the supernatural power of God in that moment. I wonder what they might have done if they'd actually gotten out of the boat too. Imagine that. I want to take a moment and ask you, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you said yes to him? Have you acknowledged him as Lord and Saviour? Maybe you did a long time ago, and tonight you're back in church, or you've been coming back to church for a little while and you're rediscovering who Jesus is. This is the first big step of getting out of the boat, to say yes to Jesus, to put your faith in him. And it might be a little bit scary for you. Right now, your heart might be thumping in your chest because you know God's calling you to take a step of faith, to put your trust in Him, to accept Him as your Lord and Saviour. That first step will be the greatest step you ever take. If you do nothing else from this point on, that will be the greatest step you ever take. But I know God doesn't just leave us there. It's the first step of many faith-building steps. I want to give you the opportunity tonight with the church family here to put your faith in Jesus, to say yes to Jesus. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up if that's you, to declare boldly, I want to put my faith in Jesus. I say yes. I want to get out of the boat and follow Him my whole life. And I assure you, in this room, we want to celebrate you. We want to welcome you into the family. We want to cheer you on. And I know the team here will want to encourage you and help you to keep growing in your faith. It's not just this moment, it's a lifetime of growing, of leaning in. And that's what we're about as part of a church family, to help you grow, to help you take courageous steps of faith. So if that's you tonight, and you want to put your faith in Jesus for the first time, or maybe the first time in a very long time, can I ask you to be courageous right now? Just put your hand right up in the air so I can see it, and I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to say yes to Jesus? Awesome. Bless you. Anybody else? How good. How good is God? How good is God? One and a few people just gather around. I've forgotten your name, sorry. Kieran. Let's pray for Kieran. Kieran, would you say these words in your mind with me as I pray? Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you came down from heaven to earth as a man, so that you could die on the cross on my behalf. Thank you for forgiving my sins and making a way for me to have a relationship with you. Today, I put my faith wholeheartedly in you, Lord Jesus. Today, I decide to follow you. No turning back, only forward, one step of faith at a time. I acknowledge you as Lord and Saviour and say thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, why don't we put our hands together and celebrate Kieran tonight. So good. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family, and I know you are going to be loved and supported and encouraged on your journey of following Jesus. Well done. If there's anybody else who was a little bit too afraid to put your hand up, I encourage you, go and talk to one of the pastors or get a friend to take you to talk to somebody. It is the best step that you'll ever take to a new life. Now, I know a conference weekend can be this incredible mountaintop experience, and we've had lots of moments of mountaintop experiences, haven't we? And we've had lots of time of ministry and leaning in, and we're blessed and we're all ready to go out there and change the world, right? Yes, Susan, we're all ready to go out and change the world. It's good to be refreshed. It's good to have these mountaintop experiences. But we need to take what we know and what we've learned into Monday, into Tuesday, into the weeks ahead. And sometimes that can be a little bit overwhelming. I love that your vision for this year is come and see. I encourage you, keep coming back. Keep coming and seeing and experiencing family, community, faith, supernatural faith at work amongst God's people. But right now, I just want to give you an opportunity. I want everybody to stand with me, if you would. As we think about going into this week, whether we're going back to school or uni or work or being with our family, I want to pray a blessing over that you would receive more of the power of the Spirit. That what you've received here this weekend, or even just tonight, if you're just here for tonight, would be sealed within you, and that you would take this into the circles, the areas of influence where God has planted you. And that you would not let fear get in the way of the call of God on your life. Believe that there's some people here tonight that you know there's a first step for you. There's a first step that God is calling you to. And He's calling you to step out in faith and encourage. Maybe you're a little bit fearful like me. Tonight, we want to pray for you. If there's a call on your heart that you just want God to fill you afresh with His Spirit, the power of His Spirit, to take the courageous steps that you need to take, we're going to pray for you. I'm just going to ask the prayer team to come down right now. I want you to just come right across the front, if you would. If that's you, I encourage you to start coming now if there's steps of faith that you need to take. I believe for some of you tonight, you can come and stand in front of me too if you like. I believe for some of you, right now you sense that fear is in your driver's seat. Fear is overwhelming. Maybe even now just thinking about your heart's racing. And you're tired of it. You need somebody to pray courage in you. You need somebody to stand alongside you and help you shift that fear to the passenger seat so that you too learn to do it afraid. To say yes to Jesus and just do it afraid. If that's you, I encourage you to come and get prayer. Whatever it is for you, whatever is stirring in your heart, God is calling us, each of us, to step out in faith in the supernatural power of His Spirit. Maybe that's your first step of faith. Maybe you want to pray for the gift of healing. Are you brave? Maybe you want to pray for the gift of faith, of salvation, to be able to see those around you come to know Jesus. Whatever it is, we want to stand beside you. We want to pray faith and courage into you. You know, encourage means to put courage in. Means we need it to be put into us at times. So let's stand together as a family of God and pray courage into one another for the things that God is calling us to do. Can we do that as we sing this next song? Come on, don't be afraid. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. Just come right now and receive prayer. Don't miss this opportunity tonight at the end of our weekend together to receive a blessing and to be prayed for.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.